Okay, so today, good morning. Welcome back. Another week. And we're going to continue from where we were last week. Last week, we started Parshas Maaseh, and we're talking about traveling, journeys, life's journeys, and that's really what we're going to develop more of today. Last week, we saw the Psukim inside, some of them, even though we didn't read all of them, because there are 42 journeys that the Jewish people took in the desert till they reached the land of Israel, and as the pasuk says it, they journeyed from this place to this place. They camped here, and then they journeyed from this place to this place, and it lists all the different places that they journeyed from and to. And of course, some of them it does mention a highlight of something that happens, like where Aaron passed away. It does mention a few of the details, but most of the places it just says the name, and we already know from before what it was all about. So today we're going to see a little bit more in depth to understand what it means for us, because as we started to say last week, that this is not just a history book, obviously. This is meaningful for our life. But just to say that today our learning will be for Aliyas of the Neshama of Miriam Bas Menachem Tzvi, who just passed away. She was here. She was here not long ago at our shir. So Goldberg and Michael Goldberg's mother. So it just in Aliyah for her Neshama. Just so you're sitting here. Anyways, so we just, so that's aschus for her neshama. Okay, so let's come to what we're talking about. So we were saying that the Jewish people traveled. As we say, they traveled through the desert. And we all know, just to put in context, one thing before we go further, because we said last week, even before we go to the more spiritual meanings, we mentioned what the Rambam wrote in Moreh Nevuchim, and he says, why does the Torah have to bother to recap? It's like a repetition, and to name all the places that they traveled to and from. And he says a beautiful idea that in life, when we think about it, if the Torah wouldn't record properly, like in written, all the names of the places, and of course all the stories that happened there, what would happen is that the people who experienced it would know it because they experienced it. Maybe their children, because they would have been told about it. But once you go one generation later, people would forget, and not only would forget, they would deny. They would say it's impossible. All the miracles that the Jewish people experienced in the desert, it's not true, it's impossible. Really, there was a well, really there was a cloud. Is it possible that Hashem went with them? Is it possible that they had mun? Impossible. So the Torah tells us all the details of exactly what happened, so that when we come, every single generation after generation, we have it actually recorded, so that we see it black and white, and we know that it's not just a story, so to speak, that has been passed down, but it's the reality. This is exactly what happened. And the truth is, it's even a lesson for us that in life we experience certain things, and it is actually extremely important to retell, to record all the different things that happen, because otherwise it just takes a little bit of time, and as we see now, a very short amount of time, and people are already denying everything that happened and anything that happened. And that's part of the lesson that we have over here, how important it is. But as we said, it's obviously a lot deeper than that, and it's not just a matter of remembering what happened in the past. Rather, it is us re-experiencing everything that took place that the Jewish people had in the desert. Now, just one more detail before we go into that, because we're going to see that in many different ways, the lessons for us. I want to show you, if you don't mind, go on page. See, I know I numbered the booklet that has the page numbers 4, page 4, because we read in the pasuk something interesting, and I'll just read you, and I'll find the pasuk here. I just want to read you the pasuk that we said that was a very, there was one pasuk that was a bit strange as it's introducing the travels, and I'll just read it to you. Let me see, because it's in the other one. So it says like this. The pasuk says, actually, if you look, so there's two booklets. One of them has numbers, and that's page 4. We're going to look at the Kliyakar, and then there's also page 404, which is the first page of the other booklet. And it says in the psukim, it said, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael, right? These are the journeys of the Jewish people. Asher Yotzu Meretz Mitzrayim, that when they left Egypt. Litzivaisam, right? According to their legions. Biad Moshev Aaron, and through Moshe and Aaron, right? They were the ones who led them. And then it says, Vayichtav Moshe, and then on page 405 it says, Moshe Rabbeinu recorded. What did he write down? And this was an interesting thing. He wrote down, Es Moitza Ehem, they're going forth, Moitza Ehem. As we said, Moitzayim is not going forth, actually, yeah. Going forth, limas ehem, according to their journeys. Remember, we said this was, it sounded a bit of a funny, cumbersome language, going forth according to their journeys. Today we're going to see in depth what that means for us. But before we get in depth, let's see what he says. He continues, he says, so they went forth according to their journeys, al pi Hashem, according to Hashem, in other words, according to Hashem's guidance, and we all know what that means. Hashem was the one who led them. He, you know, the cloud would lift, and they would know when to travel. And then it says, "Ve'ele," and these are Mas'eyem l'Moitza'eyem. These are their journeys according to their going forth. So we have a double here, and also it changes. It's funny. Do you see? First, it says Moitza'eyem l'Masa'eyem. They're going forth to their journeys. And then it says, Mas'ehem, their journeys to their going forth. Do you see that? It's so weird. It's a weird language. Besides the repetition, what does that mean? So I want to first show you, before we're going to see how meaningful it really is. And also there's another interesting detail, that by the first one, when it says going forth to their journeys, it says according to Hashem. When it repeats it, it doesn't say according to Hashem, right? It just says, these are their journeys to going forth. Right? Okay, so now, if you look in that second booklet that we just mentioned, page 4, I want to show you what the Kli Yakar says, and then, as we say, the Kli Yakar explains it in the Psukim, in the story, and then we'll see what it means for us, and there's a lot of beautiful ideas here. So he says, first of all, he mentions, V'achar kach hafach ha-seder, right? First it says that they went out, and then they're to their journeys, and then it switches the order, and it says, these are their journeys to their going out. And it doesn't say according to Hashem. So the Kli Yakar says, I'm going to explain it in three ways. And I'll tell you the first one orally, and then we'll read the second one. So the first one, he says an interesting thing. That if you look at the Jewish people's journeys in the deserts, there was two kinds of journeys you could categorize. One kind, there's many ways of categorizing, but he's going to categorize one thing. One was when the Jewish people were going forward. Forward means towards the land of Israel, right? That's where they're heading. But we know that some of the time, it actually happened a few times in the desert, and some of the time it was because they were afraid, some of the time is because they did a sin where they actually went backwards. They didn't go forward, but unfortunately they had to retrace their steps and they went backwards. That was when they did something wrong. So he says that's what's being hinted to over here. When you say that you go forth to your journey, that means that you're leaving from where you're leaving, and then you're heading to your destination. That's the normal way. And that was according to Hashem. That's when they were doing everything right, and they were following the instructions, and they were getting closer to Eretz Yisrael. But there were a few instances where it went the other way around, where their journeys took a trip backwards, and that wasn't according to Hashem. In other words, that was when they didn't follow the will of Hashem. So that's one way of explaining this double language, which means a fascinating thing. And just keep that in mind, because we're going to see a beautiful lesson from that. That even their backwards trips are also part of the journey, so to speak, are also part of the whole picture, and obviously have some value. Okay, even if it came about, sometimes Rona, they did. When Aaron passed away, they actually traveled back 7 stops, it says, because they were so afraid, because the clouds of glory disappeared and they were petrified of all the enemies, and they literally retreated. It's like you say, retreating. It's pretty scary. Physically, exactly. Yes, physically, Rona. Yes. Isn't it scary? It's crazy to think. It's a good question. That they, you know, you would think they know where they're getting to. It's like when you go on an airplane and you're finally getting closer, and then what do? You go back, but you don't think of it as an airplane. But let's say if somebody's driving to Melbourne and there's some roadblock or some storm coming, and you might just go back, right? Because you're afraid. You would go back, and it obviously would make the trip take longer, and it wouldn't be a very positive thing. But sometimes things cause that to happen, right? You know, that's how it is. So that's what we're saying. So we're alluding to both of them in the psukim. That's the reality. That's what happens. As we know in life, this is the reality. Okay, let's see another explanation. Then he gives another explanation. So now, if you see on this in the first column on the bottom, it says, ha-peirush ha-sheini, so the second explanation. I won't do this whole thing inside either. I just want to tell you something interesting orally about this one also. He says, we're talking about two different sets of people that were traveling in the desert. Now, we think of the Jewish people as one people. The truth is there was. But we all know that there was a group of people who joined the Jewish people and made trouble for them in the desert, known as the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav were a group of Egyptians who superficially converted, but they didn't really sincerely. They more joined the Jewish people because they were afraid of what was happening in Egypt, right? They saw how Egypt was falling and they decided they would play their cards correctly, so they joined the Jewish people. We know they weren't good because they caused many of the sins that the Jewish people did in the desert was because of those Erev Rav. They were not a good influence. And actually, fascinatingly, it discusses that when they joined the Jewish people, it was really only Moshe who accepted them. Hashem wasn't so keen. Moshe didn't consult with Hashem, and we see throughout the stories that they were a bit of a thorn. So the Kliyakar says, what happened? He analyzes and he says, when the Jewish people left Egypt, you know, it says, there's some psukim that say that the Jewish people ran, barach ha'am, that they ran away from Egypt. Then there's other psukim, and at night they ran. Other psukim that tell us, and we know the Jewish people didn't run. The idea was that they would leave proudly, right? In the daytime, you know, in the morning after the Korban Pesach, they would leave proudly. Hashem actually said, I'm not taking my people out like thieves, you know, that have to escape in the night. They're going to walk out, as we say, biyad rama, with a, you know, an outstretched hand, you know, with, how do you say it, with the total pride and victory. So who left running away in middle of the night? It was these people, because they knew they weren't supposed to. They were Egyptian, right? They wouldn't have been allowed to leave. They would have really been attacked, and they were petrified. So they ran before the Jewish people, just before they ran out while it was still night. And that's what it means. And what happened? So they ran out before it was night, and then the Jewish people obviously came, and they sort of joined the Jewish people. But the Kliyakar says, all very nice and good at the beginning. But then, as the journeys were taking the Jewish people closer to the land of Israel, there we saw a very strong distinction between the two groups. The Jewish people were excited to leave Egypt, right? Obviously. And they had no emotional ties to the land of Egypt. What were they looking? They were looking forward to entering the land of Israel. So for them, it is Moitzaeihem, they're leaving Limasa A.M. to their destination, to their travels. But those Egyptians that escaped with them, the Erev Rav, they always pined and yearned for home, because that's really where they came from. That's what they were used to. And they didn't genuinely join the Jewish people. So they were always, every time that they took a trip, Masa A.M., it was always almost like something was pulling them back. Limoitzaeihem. They always felt, ooh, we're getting further from where we left. We would have loved to be back there. Obviously, Egypt didn't exist, but in their mind, you know, so to speak, the original condition. So that's what it's talking about. And that's why the first one says, Biyad Hashem, like according, Al Pi Hashem, according to Hashem, because that was the Jewish people who were genuinely traveling by the guidance of Hashem. But the Erev Rav weren't really interested. They were just interested in saving their physical lives, and therefore they joined. So they were always being pulled to where they had come from. That's the second reason. And then he gives a third reason. And he says, very beautiful. So now let's look one inside, Perish Hashlishi. Do you see this in the second column? It says, She'il Molei Leichotot, the bottom paragraph. If the Jewish people had not sinned, Leichotu Yisrael, Hayunaisim Binesia Achas La'aretz, they would have gone on a non-stop, how do you say it, express journey to Israel. That's what would have happened. They would have had the most incredible journey. They would have left Egypt, and literally in a few days, they would have been in the land of Israel. And he says, "Al ze amar vayichtav Moshe es moitza ehem lemasa ehem." That's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, "They're leaving to their journey," meaning, "Ki min hayitziya," from the min yitziya, from the going out, rishayna, from their first exit, they would not have been any more leaving from another place, from another place of encampment, because there wouldn't have been another camp. There wouldn't have. It would be non-stop. So if it's non-stop, then you don't leave again, right? You leave once, and you leave once, and you get to your destination. That's how it should have been originally. Not only that, but how did Hashem, not only did he want to make it express, but Hashem wanted it to be first class. He says, Kiratz Hashem, Lisa Oysam al Kanfei Nisharim. Hashem really wanted to carry them, as we know, on the eagle's wings. So it would have been express, non-stop, in the most luxurious way. That's what Hashem wanted, the most comfortable way for the Jewish people to travel from Egypt to enter the land of Israel. That would have been the ideal. It didn't happen. And we know, destiny has it that obviously everything is bashert, and there are obviously important reasons why it didn't happen. But nevertheless, so what actually happened? So he says, what actually happened was, V'al yideisha kilkalu, but unfortunately, they messed up. Hutzrach lichtoy, that's why it had to write, V'eile mas eyem l'moitza eyem. These are their journeys to their going forth, which means shenosu el mekaymes, that when they traveled, they went to places shesayfam lachzer velotzeis misham, that from those places they would have to again leave those places, right? So they had stops and starts and stops and starts and stops, because they had lots of stops along the way. That's what happened. That's because they didn't do the right thing, as we know. Misham v'liyos metultol, they had to be, so to speak, moving mimasa lamasa, from one destination to another, from one travel to another. V'zeh hadavar lo yehoya al pi Hashem, ki lo chafet Hashem be'ela. Really, Hashem didn't want that originally. That wasn't the will of Hashem. That wasn't the original plan. The original plan was non-stop. It ended up being full of stops. And that's why it says both. You see, it's a fascinating thing. What's beautiful about it and what's interesting is that even though we did mess up, right, and we ended up having lots of stops and therefore lots of starts again, but we still record the fact that Hashem, what Hashem wanted originally. Why is it important to record that? It's a fascinating thing. Because the truth is, in life, and we're going to see now, we have lots of stops and starts. That's our life. Lots. And even going backwards sometimes. But what we do know is that overriding it all is that Hashem is really carrying us. So there is that element of a certain part of us that, in a sense, retains that connection and that ability to, yes, go in a better way. If you know what I'm saying, it's like an interesting thing. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. Not double, it's like two things happening at once. And we're going to see in a minute how it all works. But we stop, we start, we stop, we start, we stop, we start. And when we stop, sometimes it means that we're stuck a little bit. It's not such a positive thing when we stop, sometimes. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. And when we stop in those not such good places or not such good, you know, spaces that we find ourselves in, we have to remember that even there, Hashem is still carrying us. Even in those places, Hashem is carrying us. And believe it or not, we're not going to stay there. We are going to end up moving. And let's go into that now. Let's see a little bit more depth to how this all works, because there's so many ways to understand this in such a beautiful way. Now, before we go, because I'll show you, go to page number 5. I'm going to show you something nice on page number 5. Is like this. This is the Rabbeinu Bech, Rabbeinu Bechai. So he gives a few things. So with the one that starred on the side, we mentioned already the fact that the Jewish people, even though it says they made so many journeys, the reason also why it records it is because if you count up, you'll see that they did 42 journeys, but nevertheless, they didn't constantly stop and start. There was one place that they stayed for 19 years. It says, so in other words, Hashem is showing us the kindness of Hashem, that he really took care of us. And even though this was technically a punishment, which it was, because the fact that we didn't even want to enter the land, right? We complained about the land. So therefore, we ended up being stuck in the desert for 40 years. Nevertheless, Hashem didn't constantly cause us to come to travel. He rather gave us a lot of times where we traveled, but a lot of times where we were camped, and it was semi-permanent, so it wasn't so bad. And another thing to remember, as we said, was the way Hashem treated us was so miraculously, despite the fact that the reason we were in the desert was because we did something wrong. So that's also a fascinating thing for us to reflect upon, that although we did something so bad by complaining about the most incredible gift that Hashem was giving us, this beautiful land, and we were afraid, and we complained, and we didn't want to go, nevertheless, despite that, Hashem made our stay in the desert so incredible with all the miracles that He provided for us. That's another thing that I think we can all relate to up until now, but Golus, exile, has been a very difficult journey for the Jewish people, and yet throughout the exile we've had many times where we've had it very, very good. Like now you can say we lived in Australia and it was the, you know, as we say about America, the golden Medina, right? Then we had it good, whatever it may be, but Hashem provided for us literally the most incredible lives, the most incredible opportunities, even spiritually, that we were able to grow. So the same thing, it's all reflected in what happens in the desert. So that's one thing. But then also, as we said last time, the idea of that was that mushal, that analogy that we gave about that father who took the child to the doctor, and then on the way back, when the child was healed, he showed the child, he kept saying, remember this place we stopped, remember this place we stopped, and I did this for you, and I did that for you, you had a headache here, but I took care of you. And that's what Hashem is telling us, for us to remember the kindness that Hashem does for us. But then there's another very beautiful thing. He says, and I want to show you, if you go on page number 5, in the first column, the third paragraph in the first column, it starts, Va'oid. So he says another lesson. Va'oid yesh bazet te'eles acheres. There's another purpose in recounting all the journeys and all the travels. La'idi anu, to let us know, ki hakol lefi hakavana. Everything is intentional. That's why it counts all of the travels, bishmaisam, by their names, lahayres, to teach us, shakol taloi kifi machshavtam shel Yisrael b'hakadosh baruch hu. Everything is intentional, not only by God, but by us. In other words, our whole life has to be lived with intention. And depending on our attitude and our outlook and our perspective, actually affects where we are. It's a very powerful one. And he gives an example and he says like this. So he says, Kishahayu zaka'im, when they were worthy, v'aysim ritzayin Hashem, and they were doing the will of Hashem, v'hayu noisim b'machshavton. And he stresses, not only we're talking about, not only that we technically do the will of Hashem, and not only is it that the place might be a good place, but we're talking about more the perspective and the attitude. What is it in our minds? How are we looking at our life? He says, in our minds, we travel from a negative thought to a positive one. Sometimes we're able to do that. We don't have such a good day, and we make up that the next day we're going to wake up better, and we do, or we don't wake up better, but we work on ourselves to switch our mindset, and we think of things in a more positive way. So he says, then what happened is, Haysam midas rachmim sh'aleihem merachemes u'megina aleihem. Then the attribute of compassion actually had compassion upon them. In other words, Hashem treated them with compassion in those places, or as we might say, in those spaces of positive thoughts. And then he says, and that's why, it gives examples over here, Vayachanu Bahar Shofer, Vayachanu Bimiska. These are some of the names of the places. Shofer is like Shifra, beautiful. We say Miska, like Matuk, sweetness. When they had a positive attitude, the name of the place reflected that positivity. And when he says, when they were sinning, and what's the sin? That they left a good thought, and where did they travel? To a negative one. Now this can be explained in many ways, whether it be when we left from a place of trust to a place of anxiety, when we leave from a place of hoping to do good to a place of complacency, whatever it may be, whatever it is, everybody in their own way, what does it say there? So he says, "Ha'isam midas hadin she'imahim mituchah kenegdam la'anisham." Then the attribute of judgment, which is always accompanying them, both judgment and compassion, both and kindness, both accompany them the whole time. But then the attribute of judgment took up its, you know, was the one that was dominant and was able to make it a little bit of a negative experience. In other words, they decided it was negative before it was even negative, and it actually became negative. And he gives examples of names of places. He says, and look at the interesting one he mentions first, ulekach vayachnu bicharada. What is charada? Do you know what charada means? Charada gedayla, my trembling. That's the biggest one, the fear. Before anything, it's the fear that it's going to happen, right? That fear, that trepidation, that's the worst one. That's the first one. And that's what it says. They actually traveled from a place called Harada. That's when they decided that it was going to be difficult, when they were already afraid. And that's what set out, that's what happened. And then it says, Vayachanu bedafka. Dafka is, well, that sounds like dafka, but dafka is daifik. Daifik is when something is pressing on you, when it's very compressed and you really feel like you can't move. That's what would happen. Vayachanu bimara. Then they would go to a bitterness. So you see that these places, the names of the places, reflect the attitude and the perspective that they had even before they got there. And then the place took on that name. That's what it says in the Gemara Yerushalmi. Kishahayu mislainanim, when the Jewish people complained, mislainanim Yisrael b'masais, when they complained on their travels, Hayu hashoimrim, the guards, which we're talking about the angels, soivivim b'machane, that were surrounding the camps, mipachad b'leilais, from the fear of the nights. So when they were in a negative state, that's what would happen. It would feel like night, and it would taka be scary. And when they, in other words, when we're talking about travels, we're talking not physically, rather their minds. What did they? Where did they travel? Where did their minds travel to? Where did their thoughts go to? So he says, Umishanim Isa Hayu Hamidas Alchaisimaim Yaimam Velaila Payalais Bahem Hain Litoy Vehain Lara. Depending. If they're traveling from a negative space to a positive thought, well then the angels of mercy were very, very excited and would come and wake up and surround them and make it be a merciful kind of place. When they traveled from a good thought to a negative thought, then the angels of Din, judgment, were very, well, I don't know if they were excited, but then they would take up guard, and they were the ones who unfortunately would cause, so to speak, some negative things to actually happen, and the place took on a negative name, a negative connotation, and that's what happened throughout the desert. And that's why the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it's important for us to actually give the names of the places and for us to review it, for us to reflect and remember this is the way life goes. This is the journeys of life. And it depends on us how we want to travel. Now, not totally. Let's not, you know, we're going to see soon. Obviously, some things are predestined and sometimes life throws us lots of challenges. So let's see, we'll see soon in a minute how that works. Okay, I just want to share one more thing that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, because a very beautiful one, because as we just mentioned, there was this like repeat, right? We said travels to go to going out to travels. And he says the reason we have a repetition is because there's really, if you want to say, two sets of travels, if you want to say very generally. The first was the Jewish people traveling from Egypt, and they actually did, thank God, end up getting there eventually to the land of Israel. And we entered the land of Israel, and originally we lived there for about 850 years, where we had the first Beis HaMikdash. We left for 70, we came back for another 420 with the second Beis HaMikdash, but then we left. And since then, it's been contested, as we know. And not only that, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is not revealed, right? It's not perfect at all. It's far from perfect. We're waiting. So he says we shouldn't get despondent. Because just like there was a first journey, there is a second journey. And Hashem promises us. That's what he says. Hashem promises us that just like in the first journey, when we went from Egypt to Israel. Hashem took care of us and provided us with what we needed, gave us the mun, gave us the clouds, provided us. He will provide for us when we re-enter the land of Israel in the time of Mashiach, which is what we are just about to do. And that's also, as we're saying, that now we are like on that cusp, if you want to say, where it will totally be ours. And this is what he says, this is the promise. We have to know that this is not just history, this is something that we are going to re-experience, and we are re-experiencing right now. So it's also very important for us to relearn it and reflect on it. This is what takes place. So it's very powerful also. Very beautiful and very, very powerful. Now, yes, sure, Sylvia.
I read somewhere, I don't know if it has any, I think it was a commentary, that they could have left Egypt and gone via Gaza.
Exactly. That's the point. Exactly right. Because Gaza's right on top of Egypt. Yes. Exactly right. Yes. That would have been the direct line. Yes. So there's a few reasons why they didn't do that originally even. And one of the reasons is, it says, fascinating thing, that when they left Egypt, we know they were in the 49th level of impurity. Mm-hmm. Which means, even on a simple level, what we understand it is that they were very, their minds were very Egyptian almost. You know, they were so part of them. And in order to get rid of that, and to make their, you know, to so to speak, not only purify, but elevate them and to literally refine them, they needed to have a bit of a longer journey around.
They weren't ready to go.
That's exactly right. They weren't. Because this is the Holy Land with a whole different mindset. The whole different focus than Egypt. But you're right. It's so close. It's so close. Good. And that's what it is. I know. Yes.
Maybe wrong, but when they came with you, the brothers came to your safe, and then they had to go back. Maybe they used the
quilt. Yes, they did. They did. They didn't travel far. 100%. They traveled 100% the quick way to get to Be'er Yaakov. And yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's an interesting one. Okay, now let's see a little bit more as we're talking about spiritually, how this all works. So it's going to be a drop repetitive, but there's so many beautiful ways, and I hope I won't leave anything out, I mean, I'm sure I will, of understanding how it relates to us in our life. So, as we're saying, the number 42 comes up, it's 42 journeys, and we mentioned there's two parts to it. Well, there's two ways of looking at two parts. There's one thing about these technical words of going out to their journey, but there's also another aspect, the fact that there are journeys and there are camps, encampments, right? You know, as it stops, as we say, because they did. They journeyed and then they stopped. They journeyed and then they stopped. The parsha is called Masse, which is journeys. But the truth is that when you look in the Psukim, what does it tell us the names of? The names of the places where they actually camped, right? So we have to understand what that means for us. How does that reflect in our life? So first we'll see something interesting. Before we read inside over here from the Nesiv HaShalom, there's a part that I didn't make a copy. So this is on page 6 in your booklets. So it says a very interesting thing. He says like this, that every single Jew knows that we have, and this is brought by many Hasidic Rebbes, we have a purpose that we were born. Every neshama has a purpose that it was born for, to accomplish in this world. And in order to get to the purpose, we have journeys and stops, okay? And it says that we actually parallel those 42 journeys. Our life is full of stops and starts and stops and starts. Okay, now that reflects many, many different things when we're talking about stopping and starting. So he says like this, a very beautiful idea. I want to just see first how he says like this. Okay. We mentioned last week that this corresponds a little bit to the concept of the Omer that we are in now, because in the Omer we have 49 days, but really 42 are the 6 spheres times 7. 6 times 7 is 42 before we get to the last one, which really is consolidating all the previous. So it's also the concept of 42. And what's the idea? The idea is, besides for the fact that we have certain things we have to accomplish in this world, we have certain things that we have to accomplish first within ourselves, to refine ourselves, to make ourselves better people. And each and every one of us has been born with different things that are challenging for us. And certain midas, certain character traits come easier to us, and certain character traits are more challenging. And every person is unique, and it's complex, because there's very you know, specific detail. Each of the character traits can be broken up into many, as we know, right? And there's many, you know, there's many, many, how do you say, many shades in everything. And there's a lot of work that we have to do on ourselves. That's what life is all about, working on ourselves, right? That's what he says. Now, he says like this. So now, we're going to make a few different generalizations. But generally speaking, when a person's working on themselves and they're coming, trying to come closer to the goal of self-refinement and obviously closer through that to Hashem, we might break ourselves up into two categories. We know, we say there's the concept of sur meira, which means staying away from bad. And then there's the concept of asei toiv, actually doing good. Now, when we talk about sur meira, staying away from bad, it's not just staying away, but it's actually eradicating something which is negative. Because we are all born with certain tendencies. Now, although we won't say that they are bad, but certain tendencies are more challenging than others. Like we might say a person perhaps is born not a very patient person, right? So they very quick to get angry then if they're not a very patient person, right? Or a person could be less tolerant because of that. Or a person can be a person who perhaps is more, I don't know, there's like so many different things that we know. We don't have to, you know, each one of us knows our own deficiencies, if you want to say. So there's two parts of our journey. One part is where we try to work on refining all those negative things. And of course, that's not the goal. The goal is to bring holiness into those spaces. In other words, we're not just trying not to be impatient. What we want to be is patient. You know, right? In other words, we want to transform it, and we want to be able to do good with it. So that's the going away from bad and the coming to good. So interestingly, it says that there's lots of ways to explain it. And I'm just going to show you one of the ways here. Let's see. Okay. So then we're going to come inside in a minute. He says, when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, so we mentioned Moitzaehem, that's the leaving from. Masaehem is their journeys too. So simply put, Moitzaehem means when you leave from the negative trait. Masaehem is when you're traveling to the positive trait. So he says a very interesting thing. In life, sometimes we're given gifts. And the gift is that even in time, there are certain times that things are not easier, but they're more holy. Like, for example, we all know on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of holiness. The weekdays are normal days, right? Now, on Shabbos, things are more holy, which means also that our lives are more in tune with Hashem, and we don't have the distractions of the weekdays, so sometimes we don't have those tests, and it's easier for us to feel that we are traveling, Masayim, traveling towards the positive, right? Because it's full of holiness. But not only is it traveling towards the positive, but it's almost as if Hashem is giving us a gift, and it's like there we're being carried, you know, we don't even have to do the work. It's like the holiness comes, and we're transported into a more positive space. But during the weekdays, it's Moitzaehem. That's when we're leaving. The whole time we're battling the negativity, battling the challenges. That's what the weekday represents. So he says, I just want to read you one beautiful thing. He says that there was a tzaddik. I'm just looking which tzaddik it was that he's referring to here. Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk. And it says an interesting thing. He says, the Heiliker and Lichtiker tzaddik, Reb Mendele, kol Shabbos, Haisa etzlai kemayshalai haya oid Shabbos me'olam. And he says, not only that, v'af lo yiyye oid Shabbos le'olam. This tzaddik, Mendel of Vitebsk, he's actually fascinating. He's interesting, he was one of the first aliyot, talking about people who made aliyah. You know, there was famous aliyah, people don't know, people say people made whatever, went to Israel in 1900, they have no idea, but everyone is in the late 1700s, early 1800s, already there were people leaving from Russia and going, and the famous ones from the Vilna Gaon, and there was also a Hasidic aliyah. They actually ended up more in the northern parts of Israel, led by, and then they ended up in Hebron, whatever it was, led by Reb Mendel of Vitebsk. He took a whole group of Jews from Russia to Israel. Amazing thing. Anyways, even in those times, imagine Israel in those times, it was beyond difficult, beyond challenging when they got there. And that's what it says, actually. They had a lot of challenges from, even then, from their lovely neighbors and from everybody. But anyways, the bottom line is that, and from the Greek, the Ottoman Empire was in charge, but they were overall in charge, but there were all the small groups of chieftains, whatever, that it was very difficult. But anyways, it says that, what did he say? He said a very beautiful thing. He lived every Shabbos as if, he said, there wasn't a Shabbos previously, and there won't be another Shabbos. In other words, every Shabbos to him was like, you know how you know, like you say, when you arrive somewhere that you've worked your whole life, that's how Shabbos was. Why? Because every Shabbos was a special holiness that was revealed in the world that he felt, because he was such a tzaddik, that he said had never been there before, and it's true, and would never be there again. Which means that it was such an opportunity. He seized every Shabbos as an opportunity to come close to Hashem, as if this opportunity will not arise again. And it's actually true. We don't see it, unfortunately. We don't feel it that way. But the truth is, it's not just on Shabbos. Every moment is that way. But he felt it very, very strongly. And he would live every Shabbos as if it was literally the first and the last. So beautiful and so magnificent and in such an elevated state. And what does that mean? At that Shabbos, he was really, so to speak, on his journey, coming so close to what we would call Shabbos is in time what Eretz Yisrael is in space, right? That's what it is. So Shabbos, he was really in the holiest of spaces, in the holiest of times. And it says a very beautiful thing. He says like this, and this is also for us. So we have this constant thing that we're leaving the negativity and we're coming hopefully towards the positivity. So generally in life, what's the general formula? Generally, let's say if we have something negative that we have to work on, you have to actually get rid of the negativity, and only then can you bring something positive there. Like the typical example that's given, even physically, is if you buy a house and it's an old house, first you have to clean it up when you come in, and then only then can you decorate it and bring the new furniture. Because if you decorate and bring the new furniture into a dirty house, it's horrible. So the cleaning up is getting rid of the negativity, and the decorating and the new furniture, that's, you're imbuing it with all the positive light. That's the usual formula. But he says, so that's usually how it works. That's why the Pasuk said, Moitza'ehem, you leave the negative, Lemasa'ehem, and then you can travel towards the good, right? Then you do the travels. But sometimes in life, it's very difficult. It is. Sometimes, what do we mean by difficult? You come to a space that the dirt and the negativity is very harsh. And you can scratch all you want, and you can scrub all you want, and it seems that you cannot get rid of it. Not only that, but sometimes you don't even have the strength to deal with that negativity. It looks so overwhelming. It looks so scary, and you don't feel empowered. You feel frozen. So Hashem is very, very kind. And what he does is, sometimes he gives us a gift. And this is partially like the concept of Shabbos, where he gives us an extra holiness that comes. And we are able to tap into that holiness. So first comes the holiness. And once we have the holiness, then we're able to deal with the negativity. It's the opposite way to usual, but it sometimes happens. Now, it's not the ideal, but it still works. It works beautifully when it happens, and that's why they switched the words after, because sometimes it does go that way. Sometimes we enter the space of holiness, and that's because Hashem gets a gift from Hashem. We're not entering it ourselves. Hashem gives us a gift, and then once we've been inspired, we're able to deal with the negativity. So we have both approaches, and that's what the Nesiv HaShalom says. That's what the Psukim is telling us here. So that's one thing. It's very abstract in a way. I'm going to see it a little bit more practically. I just want to see here. Then he says another beautiful thing on your sheets. I want to show you something really beautiful on page 6. Let me show you. Okay. If you see Gimel, do you see on page 6 that Gimel? He says, U'bechlal eilam aseh b'nei Yisrael, k'may memaran ha-kadosh mikubrin, z'chosi yagin aleinu, shahagarua b'yoyser. So what's like the lowest thing? Hu'ka'asher niye eitzel Yehudi, Recht vis-is. Now this is in Yiddish and it's an interesting expression. He says the worst thing for a Jew is when he feels comfortable. He says it's good where I am. It's interesting. We would think, shouldn't we feel comfortable? Isn't that the ideal? No. And we're talking obviously spiritually. Physically, we should always be comfortable. But spiritually, a Jew should never feel comfortable. He says, when a person says, oh, it's just perfect the way I am. Shemashlim im matzavai. When a person makes peace with his situation. Now, acceptance is a very important thing. We're not saying. but with our spiritual journeys in life, we are never meant to accept. No matter what age we are, no matter what stage we are, we should never say it's too late and we cannot improve. Every day is a beautiful gift from Hashem, and every day is something new to experience, some new way that we grow, and some new way that we are able to give to another. That's what it says. Actually, I forgot to make Kabbalah Yom Yom today. Like every day he says is an opportunity, and what's the most important thing is that we can do a favor for another Jew. That's the most important thing. And if we can look at every day as an opportunity that we can touch somebody else and never be happy, so to speak, with what we've done yesterday or what we've done up until now or where we are, and oh, it's okay, and it doesn't matter. That's like the word. So that's what he says. It's a beautiful thing. So he says, this shows like this. He says, besides everything that's dependent that we have to do, Hare tafkidei tamid, what's our purpose? Constantly, linsaya, to travel, 42 travels. We always travelers. We are never people who reach our destination. The truth is, Hashem seems to remind us Jews always that we are never at our destination. We are never, you know, we've never arrived. He says, l'aleches, to go, l'hiskadein, and to improve, hala le'elo, le'elos, higher and higher. Mi madrega le'madrega, from one level to another, umi masa le'masa, from one travel, one journey to another. And he says, that's what Hashem said to Avram. Lech lecha, right, go, me'artzecha, from your, you know, land, umi maladetcha, and from your birthplace, and from your house of your father. And what does that mean? We say that Avram, vayelech Avram, Avram went, haloich v'nasoya hanegba, he traveled towards the south, shetamid haloch Avram, haloich v'nasoya darga b'sar darga, right, he went one level to another. And this is our journey, he says. Yilaleches tamid hala, to go forward. Liyais maisif v'haylech v'ar. It's a very important language. We have to constantly add. We have to constantly be going, adding in light. That's the most important thing. And the worst thing, he says, v'agarua b'yoyser, k'asher mistapek, when a person is satisfied, u'mashlim im ma'amada ha'nechachi, and makes peace with his present situation. And that's why Hashem constantly renews creation. That's what we say. That the entire, every moment Hashem is recreating the world. Why? Because every moment is a new opportunity. And not only is it a new opportunity that we can have the choice, either we take it or we don't, but it's an opportunity that we must take. We must be growing. We cannot stay the same. That's what he says. And he says, Shekol his chachos, his man, his kadmos, v'nesia. Every renewal is a time of improvement, of going forward and travel. And that's what he says. And he goes on and he says, so that's the idea. Every minute we can renew ourselves. This is the journey of a Jew. That's what it is. I just want to see, that's why he says, Vayisu Vayachanu. What is Vayisu Vayachanu? Vayisu is when we are traveling, and then Vayachanu is when we stop. So now, if the whole purpose is to constantly travel, so why do we have stops? Why do they stop?
To review the situation.
Ah, very good. So it's a very important lesson, he says. It's true. We have to constantly be traveling. But the truth is that growing is very important. But if you want the growth to be internal, to be real, you do have to spend some time internalizing, right? In other words, there are stops, but the stops are for the purpose of the travels that will come after. In other words, of the growth that you will have afterwards, right? So in other words, you travel, so you take something on a simple level. You take something, everybody has to take little things upon ourselves. I don't know, practically. I mean, there's character traits, those are much harder, but just to give a simple example, let's just say a person up until now didn't daven every day. Okay, so now, if they say today I'm going to start davening every single day from the beginning to the end of davening, well, it'll last maybe 2 days. I mean, it's just not going to work, right? So what are you going to do? So you'll say, every day I'm going to say Shema. Let's say, take an example. Every day, or you can say Monday and Thursday I'll say Shema. Then the next time you'll add a little bit, you'll add a little bit. But every single time you take something new upon yourself, you do have to do it for a little bit of time, right? So that it becomes fixed. Otherwise, it'll just dissolve. It'll leave. It'll be gone. That's the concept of the traveling and the camps. The traveling and the camps. So you travel, but then you make sure that you internalize and that it really becomes real and it becomes permanent. But what is the parasha called? Masse, right? It's the journeys. The goal is the journeys. The goal is the growth. But of course, in order for the growth to sustain itself, you do have to stop sometimes. But it's not really considered stopping if the goal is to internalize the growth and to move forward. So that's why it's okay to do that. Not only is it okay, but it's important. But the goal, as we say, so that's what he says, a very beautiful thing. And this is the life of a Jew, from the minute you're born until the minute a person passes away. This is what we are. We are constantly growing, and we are constantly internalizing our growth. That's what a Jew is all about. It's a very fascinating thing. I want to see something, and a person should never, obviously, as we said, be satisfied with where they are. And obviously, the goal is not to go backwards, even though we know that's what did happen. We mentioned they did go backwards. Remember, we said there were a few of the journeys, and it documents it that they went backwards. So why are we documenting that? Because this is life. Because we will. Because it's the reality. The reality is that as people, we want to do good. We do. We want to go forward. We want to have the right attitude. We want everything. But it doesn't always work out that way. Our life, especially when we reflect back, we see we made mistakes. We did take upon ourselves. We didn't keep it. Whatever it is. And life was sometimes going backwards. That's why the Chumash records it, because ultimately, did they end up in the land of Israel? Yes, they got there. When we review in our life, and we reflect, and we see that we did go backwards sometimes, the most important thing is not to give up. Not to say, well, that's it, write it off, finished, we've gone backwards. Or even when they went backwards from Aaron, it was 11 journeys, or so, it was a crazy amount. But then they went forward right away, it says. We have to constantly catch ourselves and say, yes, it happens, it does. And this is what Hashem said, it happens. Look, it's predestined almost, because look, this is what happened with the Jewish people. But we know we can still move forward afterwards. And that's why it records that. It's a very important one. Such an important lesson for us. Oh my gosh, the time goes so fast. Oh, because it's, I feel I don't want to repeat again next time, but there's so many beautiful things. But he says also very beautiful, the big question that's asked. Okay, you know, I just want to finish this concept here, how he says it, and I'll share one more thing. And that's why he says also, another interesting thing. Just one more thing that he mentions. It says, Vayisu and Vayachanu, traveling and camping. He says, when it talks about traveling, that's talking about the things that we have to deal with that are difficult for us. Every person knows, Baruch Hashem, we're born with lots of good traits, but we're born with lots of challenging ones as well. Hashem makes every person mixed, yeah, as we know. So the good traits are what we call the camps. That's where we can rest. Why? Because in the good traits, we just have to improve, but those are easy for us to improve on. Those are the things, whether we like them, we enjoy them, they come easier to us. So it's true that they're part of our general journey, but they're peaceful. They're easier. They're more relaxed. But then we have journeys, journeys that are challenging. Those are the things that don't come easy to us. And in life, we have both. And what we have to remember is, what is really the goal? What does Hashem really treasure? What does Hashem really want? Even when they're very small in measure, so to speak, it's the things that are hard for us. So the things that are more challenging, those are what we call the journeys. That's when we have to go out into the desert. That's what they did, right? Where there are snakes and scorpions. That's where the challenges lay. And yet that's what Hashem treasures, and that's what gets us closer to our goal. So it's true, the good things that we have, the positive traits we were born with, we don't neglect them, right? It says they traveled and they camped, and they're important, and they give us strength, and they give us a feeling of self-confidence, because that's where we can succeed easier, but we cannot be satisfied with them. We have to make sure that we don't just become satisfied with the things that we're good at and things that come easy to us and that we're comfortable with. Rather, we have to constantly be challenging ourselves to go out of that and to do things that are hard for us. And that's Vayisu. Vayisu, Vayachanu. Vayisu vayachanu. And that's the constant. That's what life is. So life is made up of both. That's another thing. Now, very interesting, when we talk about it, we said that there were 42 travels. So that's a beautiful thing. Later on in the parsha, there will also be the idea of, we'll see that there are 42 cities of the Levium. The Levium got 42 cities assigned to them. We know that those 42 cities, we're going to learn, actually, interestingly, also served another purpose. I don't know if you remember, we've learned it's before in Chumash many times, but here it mentions again the concept of the Arei Miklat, those cities of refuge, right? If somebody killed by mistake and they were able to run away to a city. So really there are 6 designated cities of refuge, but there are also all of the 42 cities of the Levium are also cities of refuge. So in total, there really were 48 cities of refuge. But there is a difference between the 6 designated ones and the 42. That the 6 designated ones, fascinating, it says, if the person doesn't even know that he's there, right? He knows, he doesn't know, he just lands up there somehow, he's protected. With the cities of the Levium, when he goes there to find refuge, he has to be aware that he's there, and then whatever that means, and then nobody can touch him. But the point is that there are 6 designated cities of refuge and 42 cities of the Levium, which also serve as cities of refuge. So what is this? Something very beautiful, another beautiful, beautiful thing I saw, fascinating idea, that the truth is this corresponds to something we do every day. Every day, believe it or not, we also have these 42 travels, cities of refuge, journeys, places that we stop in, and what are they? So every day we have the opportunity to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikenu Hashem Echad. How many words is that? Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikenu Hashem Echad. 6 words. 6 cities of refuge. The pasuk of Shema Yisrael. That's the pasuk we all know as Jews. This is the pasuk. This is the pasuk where we say the oneness of God, and we realize that Hashem is everywhere, and Hashem is with us, and Hashem is the one taking us on our journey and accompanying us wherever we go, and He's the one that gives us our destination, so to speak, provides us with our itinerary and our whole purpose in life. And then we have 42. If you look at the paragraph, the Ahavta, that we say right after Shema, it has 42 words in it. Is that amazing? So from the Ahavta till b'cholavav, is 42 words, which means that every day we enter, every day we do these travels, okay, every single day, we do 42 journeys of the Ahavta. The Ahavta is that we're meant to love Hashem with all our heart, with all our soul, right? With all our might, with all our traits. That's our journey. Whether we're sitting, we're standing, we're going, we're coming, we always remember that where are we? We are here to serve Hashem. So this is the 40. It's a very, very beautiful idea. And this we have every single day. So I know we haven't said everything. And I think I feel bad. Next week we'll say a few more, because there's a few more ideas that I do want to mention. One sikha that I do still want to read one more time, just to bring it a little more home. But just even to summarize, as we can see from today, life is a journey. No question about it. Life is a constant journey. And there are constant challenges. And there are journeys that we succeed. And there are journeys that we're going forward. And some journeys we're going backwards. But we know as a Jew that wherever we are, A, Hashem is with us. B, it's part of our purpose and our mission and our destination and our itinerary of life. And that every neshama, it says, before they come down into this world, is given an itinerary. Every neshama. And each one has their own unique itinerary, actually. And in each one of the places, whether we're traveling, whether we're resting, whether it be a good day, whether it be not such a good day, we know that we are getting closer and closer, ultimately, to what we call the land of Israel, right? To the holiness, the space where Hashem is revealed. That's what we talk about, the land of Israel. Tamid Einei Hashem Alei Kechaba. That's a place where Hashem's eye is upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The place of special protection. Now, even though the truth is a very interesting thing, because we've already entered the land, right, once. The truth is we carry the land of Israel also within us. But we are traveling towards it and revealing it within us. And then, please God, what we're waiting for is for all of us to be there physically. We shouldn't have to do any more of this backward journeys. It should only be forward journeys. And we should only have to grow in holiness. Not grow in dealing with anything negative. Only grow in the positive. And that will also be growth. And that will be the beautiful growth. And in Emirat Hashem, we will get to that soon. That's the goal. So Hashem should give us strength to go through our journeys with, if you want to say, with strength and with optimism in Emirat Hashem. Yeah, and His protection. So next week we will continue. I don't know what I've just done here. Okay. All right.
So, a little bit similar.
Yes.
Government.